You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tell me what you want
for me. Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am so excited about this episode with Tali. I reached out to her, totally cold outreach. I was in London for work, and I was like, if I can just get an interview with Tali, I'll be so happy. So I've been a huge fan of her podcast, The Receipts. It's her and two other girls, Milena and Audrey. They're so funny. It's so fun. It's so relatable. It's just girl talk in a room. They answer questions from listeners, which were always hysterical. And I just always loved her personality. So I figured, okay, if I can get some time with Tali and share her with the Naked Beauty listeners, who I think you guys are going to love her as much as I do, then what do I have to lose? So I reached out. She was so sweet. She was so sweet. And she met me at Wardour Studios where we recorded this episode and just had such a laugh. I think you guys are going to really appreciate her perspective on just how beauty standards and fashion and style and all those things change based on where you're living in the world and what's influencing you. The way women in London self-present is entirely different from the way women in, let's say, Los Angeles do. And I really enjoyed getting into that conversation with her. And yeah, it's just good fun. It's good fun. And it was also for me just a great reminder that if you look up to someone in any way, if there's someone that you admire, just reach out to them. You really have absolutely nothing to lose. Worst case scenario, they won't respond. And it's probably because they're just too busy. It's not even something to take personally. But we talk about more than just style and beauty. I learned about a level of racism in the UK that I just didn't. Maybe it's just my American ignorance. I didn't realize it was quite so bad abroad too. There's a lot here, so I think you guys will enjoy. I just wanted to say thank you all for listening, for supporting the show, for rating, for reviewing, for subscribing, for telling your friends, for taking screenshots. I appreciate every single thing that you guys do to help grow the Naked Beauty community, and I just hope that you're enjoying it. That's really why I do it. So thanks so much, guys, for listening. Let's get into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz. Who should be the mayor of New York?
We all support that. We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Talani Shanai of The Receipts podcast, but you're also a writer and you've been at a lot of different places. BuzzFeed, I know you were at for a while, and now you're like just kind of doing freelance stuff.
Yeah, just going around the industry, seeing what I can do, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that is me. Do you know what? It's really weird because I feel like nobody calls me Talani anymore. Everyone's like, Tolly. And I'm just like, oh, I still like Talani. Like, that's still my name. And I guess it was when I first started the podcast, I referred to myself as Tolly, which I still do refer to myself as Tolly. Because again, I wanted to separate it. I was like, okay, I'll have the podcast Tolly and then have the professional when I'm writing stuff as Talani. But it's all merged. So it's fine. I'm like pleased with it now anyway. So it's good. It's like two different identities. It's nice.
And so having the Receipts podcast.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it gives you more empathy for women?
Oh my God, yes.
Because I feel like that with Naked Beauty. Like I feel like every woman I see on the street, I can like look at them and understand like your hair, your skin. Like it's a whole thing. And every time I go deep with women on it, like over time, it's allowed me to understand women in a whole new way.
I think it's empathy and also like, oh, you're probably not that different to me.
Yes.
Or you probably have a lot of experiences that I've had. Because I feel like growing up, I felt like a lot of my experiences were isolated. And it was only me that was going through this heartbreak. And it was only me that was going through that hated her body. It was only me. Everybody else was happy. Mm-hmm. And like with doing the podcast, what I do with two other women who I know they're ins and outs. So I'm very aware that they're very much like me. And we do episodes called Your Receipts, which is where we have our listeners send us like letters and dilemmas.
So good.
And all of it's like, oh my God, like, we're all going through the same thing. Yeah. Like, wow, a lot of our experiences are so familiar, regardless of where we grew up or whatever, it is so familiar. Like we had my friend Dorian on the podcast and she was talking about like men and dating in LA. And I was like, oh my God, this is an international problem. Like,
I just thought
it was just London, but this drought is worldwide.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, Darian's been on my podcast.
Yeah,
I was on hers. She's amazing. Shout out to Darian. One of the things that I'd love to hear your perspective on is, and I think the reason I was so attached to the Receipts is because it was three women of color doing a podcast. Podcasting is so male dominated.
Yes.
So then to be a woman one, and then to be a woman of color, and then to do it on your own and like edit. Now I get editing help, which is great. And now we're like in this lovely studio. But a lot of my episodes I still record at home. And it's a grind, and you don't, like, no one gets into podcasting to make money.
Oh, because there isn't.
Yeah.
You learn that quite early on. Yeah, I mean, eventually other things will come out of it, but in terms of just doing it. And it's a lot of hours, and I think people don't realize how consistent you have to be with it. Mm-hmm. I think it does seem, oh, this is quite an easy thing to do. You get a mic and you talk into it.
No.
But it's actually not. And there's been times where like, oh, we're recording today and every single part of me would rather do anything else than record. Like, there is nothing else like less that I want to do in that moment. But then you go in there and you, I mean, it comes naturally as well because you're talking to your girls and it kind of like, you get you out of that bad mood. But it's kind of like, it is a lot of work and it is a lot of, I had to learn this quite early on. I guess because of the format of our podcast, I opened myself up. Like, I was like, here I am.
Yes.
In like my rawness.
Yes.
And like, that took quite a lot for me to do initially. And sometimes it does take a lot for me to do as well. But it's like, I understand the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that my rawness allows other people to feel raw and feel seen as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I'm going to have to take to kind of make this a safe space and make these people feel like they can be raw and they can be honest. Because like, I've learned a lot about myself doing the podcast. Like, the podcast has definitely allowed me to be audaciously myself.
Mm.
Mainly because audacious me has been accepted. So me in my rawness has been accepted. So it's kind of given me the confidence that, oh my God, it's okay to be you and not have this performance. Because I felt like a lot of the time I was quite performative. I was like, oh, I'm meant to do this and I'm meant to do this. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
I was like, oh, I act like this because I'm in this space now. I'm now like, oh, I'm me regardless of the space I am in because I'm tired of performing.
Yeah.
And the podcast definitely allowed me to see that and to do that. That's one thing I'm always grateful for, that, oh my God. And I say it all the time and I'm like being thankful about it because I'm just like, you guys that listen, and people that listen have just like accepted me. And this is me. There is no acting to it. And I'm like, just like, oh, well, that's nice. Like, thank you.
And you bring that into other areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the other thing that's really important to communicate is, because a lot of people will be like, I want to start a podcast, but I don't know. And I don't have the right material. It's like, you just start it. And then you look up and then before you know it, you're like, oh, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, you just will it to be so. And so it's so. And so by doing it over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. I get DMs and emails all the time. How do you start a podcast? And I was just like,
start.
Honestly, just start. Like, just start it. Because like, we kind of like, we didn't have to start a podcast.
Yeah.
We didn't know. We learned stuff. I used a lot of YouTube to learn how to edit. Mm. I used friends that knew how to edit, come around and teach me how to edit.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's like, you need to prepare for it in 10 years. And I think sometimes we use preparation as a way to not do something.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just researching. I'm just, you know what you want to do.
Yep.
researching is just buying you time and wasting you time. Just start it.
Just
and
do
I
it.
Do that all the time. Just gonna do some research. And it's like, no, just do
just
it.
Just do it. Just do it. So you must get recognized on the street. Like, you're a bit of a celeb.
It's got really weird now. And like,
how is that for
because
you?
Because one of the weirdest times was, it was one of our live shows. So I was quite late. So I came out of the cab and there was a queue of people waiting to go in already. And people were like, gasp. So I turned around like, oh my God, who's here? Who is it? I was like, oh, me? Like, you're cosmic as me. It was really, really weird. And me and my sister look alike a lot. And she was at a party, so I went up to her and was like, oh my God, are you Tolly's sister? She was like, what? Like,
that happens to my husband, and he's like, women come up to me at bars and they're like, you're Brooke's husband.
And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
Good though, because you've got eyes everywhere in the
exactly.
city. So it's like, yeah,
don't
all of
even
my friends
think about,
are watching you.
Yeah, everyone's watching. Yes, yes.
Which is nice.
Do you feel like now that you are kind of in the spotlight, you have to develop like a consistent, like, personal look?
Oh, right. Okay, so I get caught slipping. And by saying get caught slipping, it's just like looking like crap often.
Oh, today, I woke up this morning and I think I feel the ugliest I've felt in a long
you
time
look
today.
Amazing. Your skin is
oh,
great.
Thank you. I'm this... so sleep deprived.
Oh,
like
no,
my
no,
hair
no.
is not behaving.
I can't tell. Okay. Only you're aware okay. that
thank
you look
you.
Amazing. I feel like not really because I'm still going to work and I feel like that's rich people's problem. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once I get
yeah.
to that level of richness, I'll yeah. be like, okay, cool. Maybe I need to like get this look that I look on point
yeah.
all the time. But Hans, like, I remember it was so funny. I was in this like cheapy clothes shop and this girl came and listened to the podcast. She was like, oh my God, hi. I said hi to her. She's really lovely. And then she was like, I'm so surprised that you shop in a space like this because of the podcast. And I was like, do you pay to listen to the podcast?
Right.
And
do we...
she was like, no, I don't pay. So I was like, so that means I'm
yes.
not getting money from it. So that means
yes.
I still need to be in these cheapy shops
yeah.
because I'm not there yet sort of thing. But yeah, I don't feel pressure to look away. I'm very much, I've thankfully given the world the real version of me. So I don't feel like I have to live up to an image of myself that I built up.
Mm.
Like I've always been like, oh, a lot of the times during the week, I don't wear makeup because I can't really be bothered.
Right.
Or I'd rather sleep a bit longer.
Right.
Or like I Instagram a lot without makeup on.
Right.
So it's kind of like you're kind of used to this version of me mm-hmm. rather than putting me on this kind of pedestal that's always made up because that's really not it.
Right.
And I just don't have the energy for that. And I'm kind of like, I've learned to make myself feel comfortable in looking at myself without makeup. And I want that to be something that everybody gets used to. I don't want it to be, oh, she looks different. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I just want it to be my face. And I just want people to be used to it. And I get used to it as well.
I think that's great because then you don't have this impossible standard that you always
exactly.
have to maintain.
Yeah. And when I look nice, I want people to say, oh my God, you look nice. I like that
right.
reaction.
Right. Well, you talk a lot on the show about your African upbringing.
I do.
And I would love to hear a little bit more about how you grew up.
So I was born in London. I was born in Newham General Hospital, which is in East London. And then I was taken back tonight. It's weird because I say taken back as
that
if
you were
I
never
belong
there.
There. Yeah, like, but I was taken to Nigeria, which where my parents are from. And I lived there till I was about seven
okay.
or eight. So I went to school there.
Where in Nigeria?
Oh, Lagos.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a place called Mafoluku, which I don't even know why anybody would know that, but that's what it was called. And I went to a primary school called Ewenla, which means big leaf.
Okay.
Don't know why. It was really, really interesting. It's really weird. My Nigerianism is so ingrained in me. Mm. Like it is who I am through. So I always say that I knew I was Nigerian before I knew I was black.
Mm.
Because obviously like growing up in Nigeria, everybody was black.
Right.
So I was on an other. I didn't realize that I was different. I just
right.
knew that I was Yoruba and I was Nigerian because that's how we othered ourselves.
Yes.
Like you Igbo, you also Yoruba. I was mm-hmm. I knew I was Yoruba and I knew.
And what is the difference? Excuse my ignorance, because I don't really fully follow it.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like you're British, but you're from Scotland, you're from Ireland, or you're from England.
Got it.
The
okay.
aspects of it.
Okay.
So Yorubas, yeah, I think that's how I can say it. So Yorubas, Igbos, and also to speak different languages. There's different aspects of Nigeria as well, but those are the three like
okay.
massive ones. And yeah, we speak different languages. Our cultures are quite different. We have different types of food, but we're all Nigerians, that sort of thing. Yeah. So I knew I was Yoruba. I knew that. And like, even when I came to this country, my mum, for example, we had to learn Yoruba. Like we had, so we would be at home and we would ask for something. And if we asked for it in English, she'd be like, I don't know what you're saying.
Mm.
And so we had to ask for it in Yoruba.
When did you come back to the UK?
So I came back to here when I was eight.
Eight, okay.
About seven, eight, yeah.
So up until 8 years old, you're surrounded by all Black people.
Yeah.
What did that, because one of the things that I'm always so curious about is how much my identity was formed by being other, right?
Yes.
Even
yeah.
at a very young age
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Being aware of that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your self-perception or your idea of what's beautiful is different because you had that?
Yeah, maybe. Because I moved to East London, and not until I moved to Essex, where I was the only Black girl in a school.
How many girls were in your class that you were the only
one?
Oh,
there was, so a classroom is about 30 people. I was the only Black person.
Oh, wow. In the entire class?
Yeah, yeah, in the entire class. And that's like 30 odd people. And there's probably like three of us in the whole school.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so when I first moved to Essex. So that was when I really realised it. Because when I lived in East London, there's a lot of Black people there anyway. Mm. So it's fine. I didn't feel all of my close friends were Black. I think that was the first time I ever felt like, oh, am I uglier because I'm Black?
Mm.
That was the first, before that. Thankfully, because of how my mum is, she's always brought us up to be like, you are beautiful, you are stunning. Again, it's probably like a Nigerian arrogance thing that who's better than you can be? How dare anybody try to be better than you? Like,
yes.
Of course you are the best. So that's kind of been my upbringing. So it was only to then that I was like, oh, and then I remember that was when someone like first mentioned me having big lips. And I was like, I wasn't aware that I had big lips before that.
Right.
And it was like, oh, look at your bubble lips. Look at your big lips. And I was just like,
and these girls probably have injections today.
Do it now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So it was kind of like, oh, I didn't realize I had big lips. Okay, this is a thing that I have to accept now sort of thing. Thankfully, I'm quite confident and I've got a big mouth on myself. And also, probably quite bad. I was like, you know what? If I can show that I can beat anyone up, no one can say anything bad about me. I was just like, if I scare them believe that you literally cannot talk bad about me and kind of like, I guess it's like, I've never even been to prison. It feels like prison mentality of like, I have to be the head of it here.
Yeah.
So once I'm the head, no one messes with me sort of thing. So I kind of like stated my claim very early on. I was like, oh, I will fight. Like if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. So I quickly took on the role of the strong Black girl.
Mm.
Yeah, and I guess that role leads to so many other problems growing up as well. But I took on that role very quickly and I was like, you can't talk about me because let's walk. Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not going to go home and cry.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll go home crying. Yeah.
Also, I couldn't go home and cry because I remember once going home to my mum and be like, oh, mum, someone hit me. And I was crying. And she was like, so what did you do when they hit you? I was just crying. And she was like, you're very mad. Like, so you're coming home telling me someone hit you. You didn't tell me, like, you hit them back.
Because
the mentality was, if someone hits you, you go back, so you hit them back.
Harder.
That was the mentality.
Yeah.
I remember she got called into school once as well because I hit someone. Someone hit me and I hit them back. And then they called her into school. And I was like, this is not a problem because my mum, I'm not going to get in trouble.
Go ahead,
because
call
she told
her.
Me. She told me this. So she gets into school. And they're like, yeah. I looked at her, I was like, well, mama, you told me that if someone hits me, I should hit them back. And she's just like quiet. And I'm just like, well, you did.
I'm sure this happened to you. Did you ever hear you're pretty for a Black girl?
Oh, gosh. In Essex, I have this memory in my head. So I was in a friend's house. So I moved to Essex and I'd made friends, thankfully. And I was in my friend's house. I was in the garden. She was a white girl. And we were just making daisy chains. You guys know daisy chains?
Yes, yes.
Just in the garden, making daisy. It's such a cute, innocent thing. And this woman, and her mum comes in and her mum says hi. And then she sees me. She's like, oh, hi. And I was like, oh, hi. Because her sister used to pick us up after school. So I was like, hi. And then she says to my friend, she's like, oh, she's pretty for one of them. Yeah.
One of them. Wow.
It was the one of them. So that was the first time I'd heard it. And then, like,
how did you perceive it? Because I think growing up, I never took it as a compliment. I always knew it was wrong.
I did.
But I don't think I never corrected. I never used it as a teachable moment.
Never.
I was just like, thank you. Like,
not until I got older that I was like, wait, that's quite. Because I remember all throughout secondary school.
You took it as a compliment.
I did. I'll be honest. Like, I was really ignorant. Yeah. I was very much asleep. And like cute white boys will say to me, oh, I don't really like white Black girls, but you're all white, you are. And I'm like, oh, thanks. like a little dick. Like, oh, thank you.
I mean,
thanks. Like, I guess I'm so. And I did kind of take it as some sort of wayward compliment. And I guess thinking about it now, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And I was the Black girl that like the white guys liked as well. So this is quite cool sort of thing. I mean, it wasn't many white guys that liked him, but the few that did, it was like, oh, thank you sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it took me like probably like college when you're about 17. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
So is that like what's high school for? I get so confused.
Yeah, so we have primary school, which is 5 to 11. And you have secondary school, which is 11 to like 1 is 5 years. No, I think it's 10 to about 15.
It's our middle school.
Yeah,
those are like the most awkward, yeah. the most awkward years of your life.
And then you have college, which is 2 years, so you're 16 to 18.
Got it.
And then you have university, 18 to whatever year you finish, sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. So that's how. So it was about 17, 18 where I kind of like started having friends outside of school, started having black friends and like speaking to my older sister and kind of maybe started realizing what growing up as a black woman meant for me now. Because I was outside of this circle of like, oh, just friends that are nice to me. Like when we did move to Essex, we faced a lot of racism and we had like, it was awful because we were like the first black family on our street. We had people like burst our mom's four tires and we get eggs thrown at us.
Oh my gosh. Like, and like for people that don't know you, you're young. It's not this is like the 70s.
This is not that long ago.
Yeah.
So yes, it was awful. And we were like all women. It was me, my mom and my two sisters. So we kind of had like, there was no one protecting us or anything like that. So it was a very weird time for us. And I remember coming home once and they had like written the N-word on our welcome mat. So do you remember you did the welcome home? They'd written that in it. Yeah, it was horrible. Like, oh my God. I remember like being, because I live in Essex and Dagenham, which is like relatively racist. I mean, it's calming down now, but there was a point where there's a political party called BNP, which is British National Party, who are just renowned for being racist.
Okay, like the Republicans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think probably even more blatantly. Probably a bit more blatantly. And at one point they won in Dagenham, just to give you an idea of how racist Dagenham was at the time. So yeah, like we'd been attacked, we had things thrown at us. So it was a really weird time. And I think if anything, it really brought out the fighter mode in me. And that's what it's brought out. And I've realized that I have to like go into that mode quite often, which is quite sad.
Right. Because as a young girl, you should be able to be vulnerable.
Yeah,
and you should
exactly.
be able to be a young person that's carefree.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a moment that switched. So we used to have all of that. And then one time my uncle came round and he caught one of the like men trying to like do something to my mum's car or something. And he like chased this guy and had a proper word like, what are you doing? Like, when, and honestly, since that day, we were like taken in. It was like, don't mess with them because if he comes around again, you'll be in trouble sort of thing. It was a really weird thing because the kids my age were fine. It was the adults. That had this weird problem. It was a really, really interesting, and I live in a close, so it's kind of like where you live when you have a family because your kids run around and it feels safe.
Yeah.
But for a long time, it didn't feel safe for us at all. But later on, it got fine. They kind of like got used to us. And now a lot more black families have moved in and the white racist ones have kind of left. Which happens a lot, to be fair.
Cheers to that. Yes, progress. Growing up, did you feel, like when you looked in the mirror, were you like, I'm a cute girl? Like, were you aware that you were attractive? Or was it something that came later? And like, I always wonder about how male attention impacts our perception of ourselves,
too.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think I remember growing up and I loved getting my hair done.
Like getting it straightened, braided?
My mum used to braid our hair for us. Again, so I think I've probably taken it from being in school in Nigeria where we had to change our hair every week.
Wait, you had uniform. To?
So they gave the girls a hairstyle that they had to wear. So it was like, oh, braid it up, braid it down. So we all the girls had the same hairstyle in school. We changed it every week to look neat and presentable. So I was always used to that getting my hair done. Mm-hmm. And even now I change my hair very often. I guess it's still in me. And my mum, we are such a like woman dominated family. I've got three sisters, loads of women cousins, girl cousins. So mum will take turns doing each of our hair. So everyone would hate getting their hair done because she could hear all the other kids playing. I really loved it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed getting my hair done. So I'd get my hair done. And I remember every time I'd had like freshly cane rolled, I would look in the mirror and think, oh my God, I'm so pretty. Like I used to always think that. Oh my God, I'm so pretty. I can't ever remember feeling like, oh, I'm not that pretty. It's like, oh my God, I'm really pretty. Male attention did change it for me massively because I always say this story of this guy in secondary school calling me a butterhead, which means everything but her head.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that was the moment I was like, wait, am I ugly? And that was before that, I'd never thought about it.
Did you develop early?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So I had thighs, I had boobs, I had a little bum on me as well when I was about 13.
So jealous.
Yeah, so I had all of that quite early.
Didn't have any of that,
so it was really weird. It was a really weird time. And it was like, I was suddenly like sexualized by the guys my age.
And you're only 13.
Yeah,
and probably
exactly.
by older men, which is disturbing,
that's. And I kind of like, in terms of the guys in school, I feel like I played into it. In terms of like, okay, cool, I've got a body. This is cute.
Yeah. So you were doing the push-up bra, like you were...
I wasn't because I wasn't allowed to.
Okay.
My mum did not play.
Okay, she was
like,
strict.
My mum was very strict. Okay. And as soon as my mum realised things like that, she was like, nope, we are reining that in sort of thing. Even I wasn't even... I remember I used to sneak to use lip gloss. My mom would be like excessive with Vaseline and like use Vaseline on my face. I'm like, I don't want to be shiny. And I remember like patting it down and just got out of my way to like change my looks. But like, yeah, my mom very much reined it in. But I remember thinking, oh, like, oh, guys think I'm cute. Okay. Okay, cool. And I remember, and I started going out with a guy in the year above me when I was 14.
Oh, an older man, a 15-year-old.
Exactly. And like all
was
the girls.
Was he white? Was he black?
He was black. Yeah. Okay. So this time, by the time I was in secondary school, where I had like, it was a more of a mix. There was more like black people in my school, thankfully. Yeah. So I kind of went out with him and he was like the guy everyone fancied and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like we were the B&J of our school. We like, we ran it. Like, and all the girls in his year hated me. Because I was, oh, I'm with this older guy that everybody fancied and he played all the sports. He was good at the sports. Yeah. He was a guy that had the cane rolls and like his dad was a doctor. So he had money. So he had like all the new train. He was just the one you wanted to be with. And that was the person I was with quite early on. I mean, we stayed together for like 10 years.
Wow. It's so interesting because without knowing you and knowing you when you were this age, there is something about your personality that just makes it so clear that you were popular growing up.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's just like, you are the popular girl. Like, I don't know. But it's amazing. It's great. But it's just like, there's something, like, I'm not surprised at all.
Our school here wasn't as like clear cut as it is in America. It's like the popular kids, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. There was that element of it, but very much, I was like the nice popular person where like I wouldn't say many
people. You didn't exclude people. That's why everyone loved you because you made everyone feel welcome.
Like, oh, hi guys. And like kind of like wanted to be like in with all the crews. I mean, there were some parts where I thoroughly regret like not being nice to certain people or things like that. But I was, and I was also, I don't know if you guys have this, where you have every group where you have the shortest person who is the lippiest person.
Of course.
I would talk as if I was the fighter. I was the shortest of everyone. I used to kind of want to be the little ruler of everyone. And that we called ourselves so many different names. We called ourselves Buffalas.
What is that? Well, buff, you have to explain to me like UK like, slang. It's like
buff is like
sexy.
Good looking, like sexy sort
of
thing.
Do you use it for men and women?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then it's like a kid's toy called Toys R Us. So we're like, oh, we can be Buffalo Us because, we're all really fucking girls. It's so awful.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there was like a group of us. And it was like black girls, white girls. We're like a mixed group of girls who were just the popular girls, I guess. Yeah. So it was, it was that weird dynamic growing up. But I don't think it was anything awful. And then what else was we were popular but also smart.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So we weren't always the popular girls that were trying to be idiots.
You didn't peak in college.
We were always been smart because again, I'm Nigerian. I didn't have the option to not be smart. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't come home and be like, oh, my grades this. That wasn't an option. Yeah. We were always smart. We were popular. So kids like us, teachers liked us. Mm-hmm. And I remember because I was quite lippy and quite like, I was an angry child. I just wanted to fight all the time. So I got like suspended like twice, which is when they kick you out of school for a little bit.
Yeah.
But they'll never kick me out permanently because I was smart.
Yeah.
I was a kid that was liked. So I got suspended like twice. My mum's dismayed. My mum was not impressed with me.
Is your mum from Nigeria?
Yeah, my mum's from Nigeria.
Is there anything from her upbringing that she passed down to you in terms of beauty or like recipes or like using certain products?
It's not necessarily products, but my mum has definitely passed down the idea of like looking good.
Mm.
Like, especially for things like church or special occasions.
Yes.
Like I remember growing up, we had church clothes.
Yes.
We had house clothes and we had going out clothes.
Yes.
So like, and those things they're not interlinked. They're set for what they sit. And my mum now, she's the cutest. I still live with her. And she would get dressed and she'll come into my room and just kind of walk up and down.
Mm.
Kind of like waiting for me to compliment her or kind of be like, oh, mum, you look nice. That sort of thing. Like, so she, because she had three girls and we were her pride. And she just likes like, I remember like growing up, my mum didn't have a lot of money. My mum would make sure we always look good. So she would like order things from catalogs and things like that and have like back payments just to make sure that we looked nice and we were presentable. And there was no like we went. So like, sometimes I go out now and I don't have a handbag on. My mum would be like, what kind of woman are you? Like, why don't you have a handbag? Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you sort of thing? So she's definitely passed down this, which I like, this unapologetic femininity.
Yes.
Like, you don't be feminine and be proud of being feminine.
Yes.
Definitely pass that on to me, which is great. Pass that on to all of us, to be fair. Yeah, that's one
that's
thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. She taught me how to do hair. And I remember just growing up, I used my mum to get ready to go out and I would just sit there, like, watching her get ready.
Mm, I have memories like that, too.
It's one of my favourite memories, just sitting there, just watching her do makeup. And now look at her makeup, it's awful. Like, she can't do anything. She's awful. But then I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Right.
And she always wears, like, gold lipstick. And since I know my mom, she wears the same perfume, which is the Chanel No. 5.
Oh,
it's a very
particular scent.
Yes.
It's not for me.
No, it's for, I feel like it's quite old woman-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's always worn that, yeah. And that's just kind of what
it's
I know her
classic,
to be.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so you smell it and you think of her immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And my mum used to like save for like designer bags and things like that. So like she's definitely always been into the idea of looking good.
Yes.
And she's brought down the bad habits of excess clothes and shoes to all of her kids. Like we have entirely too much clothes, like entirely too much. And it's my mum's fault.
One of the things that I always die over when you guys talk about it on your podcast, like when you guys do American accents, I literally die because it's
so
probably
poor.
Like if I tried to do an English
so
accent,
poor.
Like I would never even attempt. But I'm curious to understand like how you think you're, because you've spent time in America,
yeah.
Right? You've been to New York, you've been to LA.
Yeah, been to Miami.
Miami,
and
yes.
Vegas, actually, yeah.
Yes, I've heard about your adventures in the US. What is your perception of American women and their approach to beauty specifically versus women here?
I think it changed. So the closest I think I've seen to London is New York.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, I think the women in New York are very much like London women in terms of like they spend money on their appearance. Yep. They care about beauty. They care about trends and things like that. Whereas other states, I feel like there is a huge thing on hair in America. And I think that's probably not as much for us here.
Hair in terms of like natural hair?
Natural hair, weaves and things like that. I think that's like, it's not like we don't care. We just don't have the products, basically. So we don't have the resources sort of thing. In terms of beauty, oh, that's quite an interesting one. Because also I have a huge warped view of American women because of Instagram.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, and so like the fake bodies and like Love and Hip Hop and the reality.
Exactly,
like,
which is what I see as just like, oh, there is this like Insta baddie.
Yeah.
Which is what I see a lot of American women is. If I never left England, I would think that's what everybody looked like.
So wait, who's like an example of someone? Like, I just want to get a mental
like,
picture.
They're like Laura Galore. They're like...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. What's her name as well? Who I think is actually very beautiful. She's a grandma now.
Bernice Burgos.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's stunning. But it's that look.
Yeah.
And I'm
the like Coke bottle shaped body.
Yeah, that body. And the like...
baby hairs laid down.
Yeah, and this sounds awful. I'm so sorry for all the Americans listening. This kind of like excessive amount of clothes in one outfit. Like Rashida from Love and Hip Hop does it. She has like 30 million items on for one outfit. Like she'll have like leggings, a dress, a fedora hat, military jacket, something else. It's just like you don't need this many layers.
And it's all like very tight.
Yeah, and they're just like... it's just a lot. Like, I feel like Americans don't have that simpleness.
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think that style comes as naturally.
Yeah, because I even remember growing up and I used to watch like My Sweet 16. I'm like, you've got money. Why are you choosing to wear that? Like,
money does not buy you taste.
Yeah, I used to always think, and I feel like London style, we've got quite a unique, I think London to me is very fashionable.
Yes.
And
very
everybody trend looks
focused.
Different. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And there is like, you can walk down a street and spot like 10 different trends on the same street.
Yes.
Just because people just kind of take to what they want or whatever. But yeah, I've always thought like, I always say this about Americans to say bad again, I apologize. It's like Americans wear like ripped leggings. Like what is ripped leggings? Like that is an awful thing to wear.
Is Fashion Nova over here or is that just contained
in the
US?
No, it's not over here.
And
I absolutely hate it so
I mean,
much.
I've never, to be fair, I haven't tried Fashion Nova. Maybe I would like it if I tried it.
Yeah.
But it's just that like...
that look.
That extremely low quality of clothing where it's just going to fall apart after wearing it once. It's
and
like,
I just think it's because everyone wears it, everyone looks the same. I'm just like, oh, there's no like individuality.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the quest to be this Insta baddie.
Yeah.
Which is all which I find quite weird.
Do men here follow those women and like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my little brother like loves that look. And I'm like, what about this super fake?
No, they love it. So it's weird because recently, like for the longest time, I didn't see fake bodies in London.
Mm.
I just didn't see it.
And now it's over here.
And I'm just like, oh my God, when? I mean, people have always had fake boobs. That's always been a thing. But again, it's been mainly been white women.
Yeah. Now it's the fake butts.
I'm just like, oh my God, when did we start doing this? And again, it's definitely the American influence when it comes to body. Is there a massive influence when it comes to beauty? I don't know if it's as much, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's as much as I feel like in the UK, we know, and we're kind of well-educated and we've kind of been well-educated since we've been reading like teen magazines.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been always been aware of like beauty and everybody here kind of finds what it is that they like and then they take it on. I mean, there are certain looks. There is that Instagram beauty, like, powder, heavy look.
Yes.
Yeah, that you see as well. Again, I cannot wait for that to go away. But yeah, that's also a thing here as well. But I think like we're quite very, very individualistic. Like, it's kind of like, yeah. Oh, I do what I want, yeah. And I just see what happens, yeah. Sort of thing, which is quite nice.
You do an amazing job of changing up your hair. Like, you'll be in a short pixie cut, and then you have, like, a lot, like, you go from extreme to extreme.
Yeah,
when you're wearing your own hair, so yeah. Let me say from my point of view, sometimes I like my own hair most, but the amount of work that it takes to maintain my own hair is just like, I'm like, let me put in some braids, some crochet. Like, I can't because it's just too much work. But I think if I'm being honest with myself in terms of like when I think I look best, it's probably when I'm wearing my own hair.
Okay.
Which I feel good about because I'm like, okay, you should like your own hair the
absolutely.
Most.
Yeah.
But it's just too much work.
Yeah. Which I get. Yeah.
And so that's why I go to like the more protective styles, as they call them. Do you have a preference in terms of, because you do so many extremes,
do you feel
like this is like my best look?
I really like when I have my own hair and cutting a pixie.
Okay.
And really, it's straight.
Your hair, do you relax your hair?
So my hair was natural for 2.5 years.
How did you find that?
I didn't show it really. Mm. So when I first got it, when I did a big chop, and I dyed it blonde.
How long ago was this?
So this was about 3-4 years ago now. Oh. I've got a weird relationship with my hair, which I feel like it's not shared by many black people. I hold it dear to me, but I don't hold it as dear to me as everybody else. Like, in terms of like, for me, my hair is not that big part of my identity of who I am. Mm. It identifies what I look like in terms of how I'm feeling. So my hair for me, it's like, oh, I'm bored. I'm going to change this. That's literally how I see my hair. So it's not this, and I don't know if it's weird, it's not like a pride thing for me. So I don't feel, even when I did cut my hair, and everyone's like, oh yeah, well done, you've got natural. I was like, I'm sorry, but this is not for the culture. Like, I'm sorry if this sounds bad.
I'm going to have a 22-inch weave tomorrow.
It's going to change.
Don't be attached.
It's not for the culture, and I'm doing it because my hair needed a break. And when I relaxed my hair, again, it wasn't this big, powerful moment for me. It was a moment because I went in a big pixie and I had a set style. So my hair for me is, I love it because of how interchangeable it is.
Yeah.
I love that I get so many options, but I don't feel an emotional connection to it. That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not emotionally connected to my hair.
Okay. Do you think it's a mistake to be emotionally connected to your hair?
I feel like because black hair is so politicized, black women feel like they have to be.
Mm. I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like probably more actually don't really care. They just want to be able to change it. They want to be able to do what they want. They actually don't care that much. But because of this view of like, it's our crown and glory, or we have to be. And because people tell us what to not do with it and what looks not, that we feel like, no, because of that, we have to act a certain, we have to react a certain way to it. But if you are emotionally attached, fair, absolutely fine. But I just feel like I shouldn't have to be.
Yes.
It's not my, I'm not making, my hair is never making a point.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about if colonization never happened? Like, take away all of the white supremacy. Like, if you take away everything we've been conditioned to think about our hair, would we still choose to wear our hair this way?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like if we didn't know it any different, our hair would just be what grew out of our head, and we wouldn't manipulate it. It would just be what it is because we don't know any different sort of thing. But, like, I do think we would still, I think we'll be a carrot-based, like, per individual, I still want to look different today.
Yes, I think so too. So I think that there's something inherent in all women, which is a desire for change.
Yeah.
I think what becomes problematic is if you think you are more beautiful or better because it's straight versus...
And if you yourself have linked that straightness to a whiteness or a bitterness.
Right.
I feel like if you just feel like, no, I just fancied it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
or
kind
if
of
you,
like...
if you can't go outside without your wig.
Exactly, yeah. Which I can and I do often.
Yeah.
And I change. And when I was natural, I was fine with it. Like, I rocked it natural by itself. I did it blonde and had it... Like, I'm very much like, oh, I just want to change. I just want to see. It's weird. It's like, I like to, like, put my face to the test. Like, how much can you hold this? Like, how pretty are you really?
Yes. Like, just serve all
face. Let's see that. Because, I just feel like it's just hair for me. It's it's not that deep. And I don't know... And I felt quite like, should it be deeper for me? And it just kind of like...
Yeah.
It just kind of isn't it.
The natural hair community does way too much.
Yeah.
It does way too much.
Yeah, I think that too. And I think it, in its doing way too much, it kind of like neglects certain people and certain hair types and whatever. And I'm just like, oh yeah, it's all great if your hair is this kind of type, but are we seen to the hair that's not this kind of type? And does it have to be styled like this? What if it's not styled like this? So I'm kind of like, I decided to not concern myself with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like basically. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that with you guys.
You're a single woman.
I am a single woman.
Dating out here in London.
Sigh.
Dressing for men versus dressing for women. How dramatically does it change your approach to getting ready?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not even going to act like it doesn't.
Okay.
I feel like, I always have this excuse of like, I have this leather culotte pants. Oh God, I said pants because you're here. Leather culotte trousers. And I love them. I have never met a man who hasn't detested them. Like every man that's ever seen me, they're like, what are you wearing? Yeah. This is disgusting sort of thing. But if I was going to date, I'd never wear them.
Right. So when you're getting ready for a date, are you like little black dress?
I am quite like, but I'm just very aware of how simple men are.
Yeah, so I'm just like, so basic.
They're so basic. I'm not even going to make an F. I'm going to wear a black dress that's figure hugging. And I know this is going to be what you want. But then I dated men who were kind of like into looks.
Ah, like they have style.
They have style. So I'd go with a little bit of like a two-piece outfit. So it's like a nice suit or like jeans and a nice top rather than a simple dress. But when it's a guy that I know you are relatively basic. And this like stretchy material bodycon dress is going to
do it for you.
Do it for you. I'll just do that.
Do you like when men are styled? I feel like I have I don't want you to be too, like, don't try too hard because, like, it's about me.
Yeah. I don't like too much. I hate men that over-accessorize. It makes me angry. I hate when men constantly wear fedora hats and feel like they're doing something. Like, honey, you can't just stick a hat on and feel like you've made a statement.
Yeah.
Like,
have you heard of the term hat fishing?
No. Oh, yes, of course.
I feel like Charlemagne, like, coined this term, but like hat fishing is a real thing. Like when you like try to hide the fact that you have no hairline.
Yeah. And like, I like when a guy is stylish, but not too much. Like we said, I quite like jeans and a simple t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, guy,
yeah.
like that's not trying too hard, but looks clean.
Yeah.
And looks good.
It's something that my brother and I have been talking about because he's like, you women are such hypocrites. You guys want to express your style and do different hairstyles and do all this stuff. But like when it comes to guys, you just want them to be super plain in like a nice fitting shirt and nice fitting pants. And he's like, you want us all to look so cookie cutter. Like, God forbid we try to express ourselves and wear something different. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the thing. I like a little bit of edge. Do you know what it is? I've actually realized it's not what the guys are wearing. There's just a certain guys that have innate sauce in them.
Yeah.
And they could be wearing a white tee and jeans. Yeah. And innately, they're just very saucy.
Yeah.
And they just wear
Who's an
well.
Example?
Oh, like a famous example.
Yeah.
I feel like Michael B. Jordan is in quite innately saucy.
Okay, but... He could
but
be
he's
in
also
anything.
A very good-looking man.
He could be in anything.
Yeah. David Beckham is the best dressed man ever. And I would say that with my chest.
How has he gotten more handsome?
He is.
As he's gotten
because
older.
Because he is a black man. Like, I don't know if anyone's told you this, but David Beckham is a black man. And that's what it is.
Say more.
And he just has this sauce. And I don't know where he's got it from. And I don't know if it's influences or where he's
where
grown up.
Where did he grow up? Like,
so
is he like posh?
Essex, actually. He's East London.
Okay.
No, he's not posh at all.
Okay.
He's from East London. I just feel like he just knows what suits him. And I've met him a few times and he smells amazing.
Mm.
Like, smells absolutely amazing. And he just...
Did he, like, flirt? Like, was he, like, familiar with you?
So, when I met him, I was familiar. That's what I did. But I also love Victoria Beckham.
Ugh,
so I'm
her.
Also very, like, you know what? No,
be respectful.
Like, I'm very respectful because I love you. I love your wife. And that's what I asked him. I was like, how's Victoria? Yep. How are the kids?
Yeah.
And he's looking at me like, you weirdo. But, like, that's all I wanted to know. I want to know you guys are fine. He's just a very well-dressed man. I just see him at the royal wedding. Oh.
Amazing. Amazing.
He just looks like money constantly.
He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But to your point about respect, I remember years and years and years ago, I was at a club in New York and Jay-Z was there. Beyonce was not there.
Yeah.
And we were at a table and I was seated right next to him. And he was like, no disrespect, can you move down one? And then he had another guy sit in between.
Oh.
Because it's like, I don't want a picture.
Yeah,
I don't want anyone seeing me. And I was just like, allow
sir.
Me to move out
Do
of the way.
It's quite sad that they have to live life like that. But it is a reality because someone will take a picture and be like, oh, Jay-Z flirts with this woman. And it's just like, but that's not it.
I know.
Oh, I feel quite sad for him to have to do that.
Yeah. Growing up, how much did Naomi Campbell's presence figure into your life? Because I feel like, As a dark-skinned black woman, Naomi Campbell was, like, everything. Like, way more than Tyra.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
She's from here.
Yeah. So, it's weird. So Naomi Campbell, not to be honest, I didn't see Naomi until I was a bit older.
Really?
Because I just kind of, like, We're quite lucky in the UK to have a lot of quote unquote local celebrities. So, for example, I had someone called like Keisha from the Sugar Babes.
I know the Sugar Babes.
Yeah. And I've always been told that I look like Keisha.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. This is a black girl. Yeah. She's cool. Amazing. And I had someone like June Sarpong who was on like on our telly. And she always used to have like gloss, like really high shine lip gloss on. I loved that.
Yeah.
So, like, not until a bit later. And it wasn't necessarily Naomi's looks that got me, it was her attitude. And I was like, oh my God, if I'm ever famous, I want to be Naomi. Because yes. I feel like she can never surprise you. Because, of course, Naomi did that.
Yes.
So she doesn't have to be fake because it's just like, well, this is who I am. So take me as I am. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And I think she is absolutely stunning. But she's also one woman that I never want to meet.
Yes.
I don't want to meet her. Herb and Victoria Beckham. Or if I do meet them, I don't want them to be nice to me.
Yes, it would
I
ruin
want
it.
Them to be quite dismissive of me, like, oh, little girl, go away.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the energy they should bring.
Yes.
And I just don't want them to ruin that image of me, so I'd rather not.
Yeah.
But I think she's absolutely stunning. And yeah, it's weird. I didn't see her for a long time until I was a bit older. I guess because of having my mum and my sisters, I never really had to look outward for beauty inspiration or beauty.
You had that in your home.
I had it at home.
Yeah.
So I never had to like look for this celebrity that looked like me or anything like that because I very much had it in my home. Career-wise, I had to. That I definitely had to look for it. But in terms of like feeling beautiful and feeling like confident, I very much had that at home.
Yeah.
Like it's ingrained in me that like, of course you're studying. Why would...
That's amazing that
what's,
you had
yeah,
that.
What's the other option?
Yeah. This is actually exciting. Actually, I just interviewed a girl who's from... London, but I interviewed her in New York. So I'm interested to hear what three beauty trends you really like, because I feel like it's different here versus in America.
Yeah, okay. One I absolutely like is gloss. Glossy lips, glossy
lips.
Yes,
everything was so matte for so long.
Yeah, and like the uncomfortableness that came with matte. And I'm just like, my lips are so dry, but it's fashion. So I just have to live with this. So I'm so happy now that it can be glossy. And it's really like... And because I've got to an age and a stage where I love my lips.
Yes. How old? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Oh, of course. I'm 29.
Okay, same,
29. Yeah, okay. Just 29, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah. So I just love that, like, gloss and just bright in your face. Here I am. I'm absolutely very, very much into it. And I feel like it's really sexy.
Yeah,
in that
of course.
Kind of
you're, like,
I'm
dewy
not doing too much. And
like...
it just, Another trend who I love and I never want to go away is because I can't obtain the other is, like, a matte face. I am so shiny. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
Like, I always have, like...
Blotting
papers on me all the time because I'm so shiny.
Have you tried the Fenty blotting papers?
No, are there any...
Yes,
is it great?
Good.
Okay, cool. So, matte face, because I'm very much into skin.
Yeah.
That's anytime I meet someone, I'm like, oh my God, your skin. Because, like, I love makeup, love foundation or whatever, but I love it when foundation looks like skin.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's just, like, that trend, I don't know if it's a trend or a thing, I just think it's so stunning. And it just look, and especially when it's bridal makeup, and you see someone's like, oh my God, you're just, your skin.
It's your skin,
it's just your skin, which is, I absolutely love. And it's a classic, and it can never go anywhere, red lipstick.
Like, who do you go to for your red lipstick?
You know what, I'm still, I absolutely do love Fenty Stunner.
Okay.
I do think it's a really, really good red. But nothing's really beat Ruby Woo for me, if I'm honest. Ruby Woo still has a place in my heart.
And they don't make it anymore.
I know. And my one's got that left. And I'm going to be so gutted once it's done because that's it. I just think red lipstick was the first colour lipstick I ever wore.
Okay.
So that was my introduction to lipstick.
And do you do red lipstick during the day? Like, any occasion?
It's one of those, like, I'm going to make a statement today. Yeah. Or, like, I just fancy. I can be in the casual clothes and just bright red lipstick. Because I just think it looks stunning.
Yeah. You also have amazing lips. So it's one of those things where you're like, I'm just going to emphasize this.
And I haven't met a person yet that red lipstick hasn't suited.
Yeah, there was some dumb rapper in America who said that, it was Young Thug, but he said black women like can't wear red lip, bright lipstick. And I was like, what?
Just shut up.
Just don't talk.
I have a thing for when men talk about things I know nothing about. It really makes me itch.
Yeah.
I saw
they do it so often.
I saw a tweet the other day of this guy saying that, oh, women pay £300 for eyelash extension. Well, they don't. No, it's a £300 for eyelash extension that lasts a couple of hours.
What are you talking about?
Just shush. Like, just don't. Like, you could, but you could also don't. Like, and go for the option of don't.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, yeah, that. So those are my three. Yes, skin, lip gloss, and red lipstick.
Okay. What about the makeup trends that you're totally over and you want to see go away forever?
Baking. I'm so done with that look.
The face baking.
I absolutely hate it. And like, I was talking to my friend about it and I was like, oh, like, I feel like it's a look that all make no shade. A lot of black makeup artists do for black women. Mm. And I feel like other women don't have to go through this process of this kind of, it's just so cakey. And I'm just like, oh, can we not?
Yeah. I
agree. Like, can you just touch it up and just not do this kind of like heavily loaded?
Yes, because you get your makeup done a lot because you're doing professional things and you're on television now. Like,
oh my God, it was the funniest thing the other day. So we were on television. So I'm always quite wary when I have to get my makeup done, especially if I'm not, is it going to be a white woman? Because...
Oh, I mean, I ask ahead of time.
Yeah, I have never...
And do you bring your own stuff?
Yeah, I've never had a white woman not fuck on my face. So it's just like, it is never happened.
I've had good white makeup artists.
I've always been grey. So from now on, I'm like, no, learning my lesson. I'll bring my foundation with me. I'm like, oh, we use this. Like, I was like, I'm just not letting
you're
you
like, don't open your like, kit.
Don't worry about
you
it.
Can just keep it all over there.
So
I've got it.
So we had a show and we were like, me and Audrey were really concerned. So we like, did our makeup beforehand just in case? And then we got there and like two black girl makeup artists walked in. I was like, you can wipe it all off. I feel safe in your arms. Do what you want to do for me.
Oh
so, yeah. And she didn't do any of that, like, baking stuff. And it just looked like skin.
Yeah.
And it just looked so nice. This is another trend that I hate with all of my heart, which is a cut crease in the eyeshadow.
Oh, my God. What is that? Like, why? When did that become so popular?
I hate it so much.
I really dislike it, too. I also don't know how to do it, to be fair.
I don't know how to do eyeshadow, so I've decided that I'm not that into it.
Like, yeah, I'm like, is my bias because, like, I don't even know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also don't like the way it looks. It's so severe, especially on young girls.
Don't
it's like,
like it.
You're young and, like, just... Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I just think it's too much. And yeah. I'm not very into it at all.
At the same time, though, I love beauty YouTubers. Like, I love Jackie Ina and Patricia Bright. Patricia Bright, she's from here, right?
Yeah, she is. She's London.
She's actually cool because she's like, I'm not a makeup expert. And she does a quite
natural approach.
But I really like watching beauty YouTubers. And I like watching the process, but it's just not for me.
Yeah, I think that as well. Like, I love it and everything. Like, no, I respect it.
I'm like, wow, it's
I
art.
I respect it, but I don't like how it looks.
Yeah.
Like when I see, I'm just like, why have you done that?
Yeah.
Like you just got a random line in your eye. Like what is this doing?
Yeah.
Hate it. And my last thing, I hate when people put highlighter on the tip of their nose.
What is that?
Because
also,
I don't know what it means. Like, I'm just trying to work
it's
out.
It's very like jack-o'-lantern. Like I don't get it.
What's that adding to it? Like,
I guess it's like a point of your, I guess you're supposed to put highlighter on the points of your face that catch light naturally. So it's like
the points of your nose.
It's like your chin, like your cheekbones, and then like there. Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't think it's a great idea. I'm not here for it.
Yeah.
And it can
definitely Rihanna does highlighter on the tip of her
Rihanna
nose.
Rihanna can do whatever she wants because she's Rihanna.
I know. I know. It's like you go to a hair salon and you see people showing pictures of Rihanna and you're like, Rihanna is Rihanna.
Anything she does to her hair is just
going to be amazing because she's Rihanna.
She's Rihanna. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just not into it. And I just haven't seen it and loved it, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I think a lot of those things are on their way out.
Yeah. Yeah, which is nice. Yeah, it is quite nice.
Are there any products that are like your absolute must-have, like your ride or dies?
Yeah, I am big on sunscreen.
Okay, yeah.
Big on sunscreen. Like,
and there are still people that don't understand that black people need sunscreen.
Like, please, like... Any weather, any day, I use it absolutely every single day of my life. So it's the Glossier, it's got yellow top on it, I've got it in my bag somewhere. What's it called? This is the Glossier sunscreen.
Yeah.
And it's invisible, which is great because it doesn't give that grey tinge on black skin, which is amazing.
Key.
Yeah, which is exactly what you look for. And there is a Benefit primer. So I'm very much of the belief that, primers are a scam. I kind of slightly believe that, but the Benefit Pore Minimizer, I think it's great because I put it on my skin and I can feel the
velvety texture.
I absolutely love it. It's my favorite primer I've ever used, and that is like a go-to for me every time I put on makeup. That's my thing. Weirdly enough, I still haven't found a foundation that I love.
Have you tried the Fenty foundation? It's not for you. That's fine. I know they've paid you to come to events. I know you can't say anything.
I love Rihanna with all of my heart. I do. I think she's amazing. Yeah. And everybody
Tom Ford has good foundation.
Do they?
The Tom Ford Trace, I think it's called like the Traceless Foundation.
Okay. I haven't found, because I mix. I mix Giorgio Armani and Urban Decay one at the moment, and I still don't love it. I just haven't found one that I really like. Yeah. Yeah.
Charlotte Tilbury also has a surprisingly good range
their
of
magic
colors.
Foundation is really good. That's my winter foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, just switch up a bit because I'll go a bit lighter or something like that. So that's my winter foundation. But yeah, at the moment, I haven't found one that I'm like, oh my God, I love this. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. One of the things that I really appreciated you talking about recently was this idea of body positivity, but accepting your body, but also being real about the fact that sometimes you're going to look in the mirror and be like, I'm slacking.
Yeah.
Like, I've been eating too much cake.
Absolutely.
I haven't been going to the gym.
Yeah.
How has your relationship to your body changed over time?
It's a weird one, and I've had to learn to, like I was saying earlier, I developed quite early. So like, I grew thighs, I grew a bum, which is gone now, and boobs quite early, which meant I had stretch marks quite early.
Yes.
Yeah, so I had that quite early, and I had to quickly make myself okay with it because other people weren't okay with it.
Mm.
So people are like, oh my God, what's that in your thinking? I'd be like, what's your problem? So I had to have that reaction and like, what's your stretch, like, why don't you get your stretch marks? Everybody has it. It's kind of like I had to have that counterbalance quite quickly. And my body now, so I have on and off days of it. I'm very aware that I could do better in terms of like, I want to be fitter.
Yeah.
Not
so do I. I think everyone does.
I just want to be fitter sort of thing. And I don't like, I've learned to love my body because I've accepted it as my home, which I said before. It's kind of like, this is it. This is it. Like, this is my home. This is where I live. This is where me, the person who I love the most, lives. So I have to make the best of it.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of become okay with it. Like, it's kind of like, if you think of it as a physical home, like, if you know that for the next 30 years, I have to live in this place, you're going to buy nice curtains for it.
Yeah.
You're going to get a nice sofa. You're going to clean the bath every so often. Do you know what I mean? You're going to keep
it
clean.
You're going to nurture.
You're going to nurture it. You're going to try to make the best of what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's where how I see my body now, that it's like, it's my home. And it's where all, and I might not like it all the time, but it's where all these parts of me that I do like live.
Yeah.
So just, it's great. Accept
that's
it like that.
A great way to think about it. How do you think you're going to feel about aging? Because I'm not yet in middle age. I think I'm judgmental about women that try to resist it. But then I'm like, who am I to have a judgment about it?
Because you don't know how you're going to feel when you get there. It's weird because I feel like I don't realize that I've aged until I look at old pictures of myself. I'm like, oh, whoa, I've got older sort of thing. So I don't think I think I'm going to be okay with how I age physically, apart from when it comes to the ableness of it.
Okay.
So like, I won't be able to run as I used to, or be like quick or something like that. But I think what would bother me more about aging is where I'm at compared to where I think I should be at in terms of like life,
success.
Yes. That's what I worry about. Yes. And that's the thing that I battle with myself with all the time.
But you're so successful.
I don't.
You don't feel it.
No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
You're selling out shows everywhere. You've got thousands
weird.
Of people
and
listening to you.
It's honestly a thing that I've tried to unlearn. I just don't feel like I am near it yet.
What will make you feel like you are?
I don't know. which is just like, maybe you should go speak to someone, Talani, because this might not be a healthy way to live
Have
life.
Have you done therapy?
No, I haven't. And for the longest time, I was like, oh, no, it's fine. I don't need it. But I definitely will do.
Yeah.
I just think, I feel like my thought process now makes me realize the importance of it.
Yes. I also love, and I'm saying yes, I haven't gone either, but
have
I'm
you,
open
have you got
to
it. Yet?
No.
People
talk to me about it all the time, though, as part of their self-care routine.
Because I thought it was a much bigger thing in America.
I think it is very popular in America, but I think amongst women of color, it's not as accepted.
But don't you feel like health as a whole is a new thing for Black and brown women?
I have mixed feelings because I feel like so much of like wellness is ingrained in our culture, and then it's like now being co-opted by like...
I know exactly what you mean, but I feel like in terms of like physical health, like...
Oh, yeah.
My mum never spoke about going to the gym or eating healthy. Like, that was never a conversation. Yeah. Like, she ate what she wanted and she still eats what she wants. And there's never this element of like, I don't even remember my mum saying that she needs to lose weight.
My mom was quite, she's always had like an amazing, perfect figure and she was always in the gym and she like weighed herself every
day.
I weigh myself every day because my mom weighed myself, you know, herself
Your
every day.
Your body is amazing.
Oh, thank you. I mean, is it good to weigh yourself every day? I don't know. I think the answer is no,
I
but
don't
it's just
weigh myself.
It's
the last time I weighed myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just use your clothes as a gauge.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. Yeah.
It's like just a habit that I just weigh
How
myself.
How do you feel once you weigh? Do you feel Does the number fluctuate. On the scale affect
yes.
you?
Yes. Yes. The only time I've now stopped weighing myself is like right before my period because like
yeah, it's
I
a mess.
Just know I'm yeah. just like why
that whole myself? Time is a mess because mine is coming on
time.
And yesterday I cried for about 14 minutes.
Yeah.
And
over
I have
nothing.
Absolutely no idea why.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is wrong with you? And I yeah. just couldn't place it. And I'm yeah. just like, yeah, we're coming. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. That's what it is.
I've been going to acupuncture to deal with my premenstrual symptoms and like regulate my hormones. And
yeah.
one of the things that I've realized that I do that I shouldn't do is actually that week leading up to it, to take that as a time for self-care and lean into it and be like, it's
okay,
coming.
Yeah.
Like, go to bed early. Like, don't. And I like fight it. I'm like, go to the gym. Like,
no, stay active. Yeah.
Don't. Just use it as yeah. a time for yourself. And then you look forward to it almost in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much of the belief of I can't come and die, which is like my general motto of life, which is I don't like stress. I mean, who does? But like once... anything's just like, oh, to do this, you need to do this 60 million steps. I'm like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. When something starts affecting like my mental or how I feel about myself, I just don't do it,
yeah.
which is not always great, but I just feel like I just have to put me first. And I've realized that like a lot of like inspirational stuff. I saw this thing the other day and it really irritated me. It was like, your dreams don't care how tired you are. And I was like, that's such a stupid thing to say.
That's so annoying. It's like stupid Twitter comments. Like, people like think they're so deep and like they're not.
Like,
yeah.
What a stupid thing to say. Like, do you realize how stupid this is? Like, go to sleep. Like, rest. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yes, but on that, like, rise and grind, like, remember when that was, like, a thing that people kept saying, or, like, I'll sleep when I'm dead? It's like,
no, I'd rather sleep now.
Just sleep now. Yeah. Live a balanced life.
Yeah, definitely sleep now. And sometimes I don't feel like grinding. I just feel like sleeping.
I know. Do you get enough sleep? I don't sleep enough. Mm. I've slept 5 hours a night for the past week, which I think is probably adding to, like, me feeling, like, really, like, uggs in the morning. Like, I woke up this morning and I was like, Brooke, this is not your best. I struggle with sleep because I feel like there are things that I want to do. And sometimes it's not even like, oh, I'm doing work and I'm doing...
Yeah.
It's like I'm just wasting time on the internet.
I waste a lot of time on Instagram at night. Like, I'm just scrolling through it. I'm like, go to sleep. I'm just looking at it. And I'm just like... I just won't go to sleep.
I know. I need to, and I have, do you have bedtime on your phone?
I do. I recently got it.
So like an alarm that goes
15
off?
15 minutes. Like go to sleep now.
I know, but I just ignore it.
Yeah, like, shut up. I do what I want.
Ignore it.
I can't be controlled.
I know. I need to figure out how to force myself to go to bed. Like, if I could go to bed at 10:30 every night, I would be a different person. Like,
yeah.
I'd be so much happier during the day.
I love sleep. It's one of my, I'm anemic, so.
Okay.
It's, I love it. So okay. I'm a nap. I can, when I say nap, I will nap for about 2-3 hours.
Oh, really?
So it's not a nap,
sleep. I can't take naps.
Oh,
I like literally, I haven't taken a nap in like 10 years. I don't even know how to.
Are you okay?
When do you nap? This is my thing. It's like you wake up, you have your day. Like, when are you napping?
Oh, weekends I nap. Like, so
like,
on a Sunday, I'd wake up, I'll go to church, come back from church and sleep.
And then you wake up.
And then wake up and then do the rest of my Sunday.
Huh.
Yeah.
How long
great.
Is the nap?
It's entirely too long. It's asleep. It's like 3 hours sleep.
What time are you going to church in the morning?
But like, I'll go to that 10:30 service. It's a Sunday, so it's just like, it's quite relaxed. And then I like have it, come back about 12, sleep till about 3.
This is totally off topic, but do you want to meet... Does the man that you end up with have to go to church? And I said man, that's being very heteronormative. Are you only interested in men?
Yeah. I mean, religion is a massive thing for me. And for the longest time, I was like, I want someone that's more in the faith than I am. Just because I was like, oh, it's quite selfish. I just want to learn from them. Or like, I want to sort of thing. And I was just like, no, because why can't you be the person to also bring someone in?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Sort of thing. I want them to definitely like be a Christian. Because for me, I feel like it's just something that's very, very important to me. Always has been, as I have been growing up. And it's just kind of like, I feel like I want someone to believe there's something higher than them.
Yes. So what if they're religious and God-fearing and all of that, but they're not Christian? Like if they're a devout Muslim or they're
Jewish?
Yeah,
I couldn't. It's so bad. And it's like, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I just be like, because I want my kids to grow up Christian.
And you want them to be baptized.
I want all of that stuff for me, for my family. So it's just like, no, this is a thing that I like, I'll be honest. Like, I dated a guy and found out he was Muslim. Literally, I found out on the first day and I was like, well, this is not going to work. That's the first thing I said to myself in my head. He could have, like, I was like, well, that's it then.
Let me
eat this free meal and go home.
Do you have other like hard no's? Like, do you know what one is that I think is really bad that a lot of women have? And like, I'm kind of guilty of it too, but height?
Like, I feel like there are so many men that just, like, immediately get discounted because they're not, like, this arbitrary height that you feel like it has to be a minimum.
Height is a big thing for me, and I need to stop being shallow, but I can't.
You really need to, because think about how much you're limiting yourself.
I'm not even tall.
I know. You're, like, this very petite girl, and you're like...
I just want a tall man. I just like it a lot. Like, there is no other reasoning but vanity.
I know.
I just think we'll look cuter together.
Yeah. Do you have any other things? Like, do you care about race?
Yeah, I only date black men.
Really?
Yeah. And it's...
What about David Beckham?
I mean, of
he's
course.
Black. Yeah.
Yeah. As you said. And also, it's like, it's David Beckham. We can give him a pass. He is also very married, so it's fine. Yeah. Is there a reason for that? I just do. That's just who I find. I was saying it to my friend was trying to get me to explain it to her. And I was like, in a weird way, I don't see white men or men from other races. So I can walk into a restaurant and within the first 2 minutes, I can tell you what every black man in there looks like.
Yeah.
But you could be like, oh, that guy's cute. And let's say he was a white guy and I wouldn't have noticed because I just haven't looked at him.
Is it because you think they're not attracted to you?
Partly. Mm. And I'm just like, well, if you're not going to see me, I'm not going to see you. Like, fine, yeah. Like, yeah. You do this. Yeah.
Do you care if they're Nigerian?
I'm 29. Is no. No. Yeah. Before, yeah. I was like, it'll be nice.
Have you dated an American guy?
So when I've been to America, I've like dated men in America and it's still like American men that I still talk to now.
Oh, gosh. American men are a mess. I feel like they don't have style.
They don't. Like, that is for sure.
They're real basic.
American men don't have style. Like, no shade. The ones I've met. But no, the one I met in New York was relatively stylish. He was quite a stylish guy. He cares
he,
about
like,
things like that.
Did he, like, work in, like, the industry, kind of?
Yeah, kind of. So yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's kind of, like, his thing or whatever. But, like, American men are cute. They're just very cheesy. Like, it's just...
Say more.
It's just so... Like, it's things like... Oh, this is so disgusting. You guys have a thing about, like, eating ass. And I'm just like, why are you telling me this? Like, this is vulgar to me.
That
like,
is a trend that I want to go away in podcasting in general. Like, very explicit descriptions of sex make me so uncomfortable.
It's just so, like, that. And it's very, very straight away. Or it's, like, sending, like, pictures of yourself and yeah, you're lifting your top up. I'm like, why are you doing that?
Like dick pics?
No, it's just kind of this like, oh, I'm being sexy and smooth. Like,
oh, like showing abs.
Here's my abs and like,
oh
my
look. Gross.
Yeah, and I cringe very easy.
That's such an American guy thing to do. Oh my
yeah,
God. I'm like
just,
so embarrassed for them.
It's just really, and I was saying to my friend, she was like, yeah, that's an American thing to do. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's so
what do you respond when they like, do that?
I told the guy, I was like, I cringe really easy, so I don't like things like this.
And what did he say? Was he like...
He was like, so you find me cringy? I was like, no. What I'm saying is, like, reflex-wise, I'm just not good with things like this. So just don't, basically. But, like, yeah, I don't mind if he's not Nigerian or not. Like, black is very important to me. It just is. But, yeah, I have a lot of like non-negotiables in terms of how you are as a person.
Yes. And I love when you give advice on your show. So many of the girls out there are being mistreated and have the lowest standards.
Like,
they're getting stood up. They're getting cheated on. They're asking like, should I give him a second? And you're always just like, no, leave him. You can do better. I love that.
Always leave him. Like once people start showing you things that fundamentally you're like, I can't forgive this. Or like, this is not okay with me.
Yes.
And to other people, it might seem really petty. But, like, for you, it's a big deal. You shouldn't have to be like, oh, let me just make it work because I really like him.
Love yes. I always love the quote, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yes. And leave. And it's like, I didn't know that straight away. I had to learn that. Like, my ex showed me who he was plenty of time. I was like, no, we're in this for the long run.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a survivor. I'm going to be a ride or die, which I do not believe in anymore.
Yeah.
I shan't do it.
Yes. It's very overrated.
Yeah. No. What do I get out of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Final question.
Okay.
When do you feel most beautiful?
When do I feel most beautiful? Okay, cool. So I feel beautiful a lot of times in my life. I feel beautiful when I feel like I'm loved. And not necessarily just a romantic love. When I'm with my family, when I'm with my niece and nephew, like I absolutely feel very beautiful and very... I link beauty to, might be problematic, to being wanted and needed, which is probably a weird thing to do.
No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, like I just kind of like, I feel like I see my beauty when I feel like someone else is seeing my beauty as well. So that's, I feel very beautiful then. But I think when I do feel most beautiful, there was something about when I've had my hair freshly cane rolled.
Okay.
It is, I could have no
probably
makeup on.
Probably from your school?
Yeah, it's probably what it is. I could probably have no makeup on, or if it's like came whilst for under my wig. But it's just looking at, it's the one time I think I really get to see my face.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the times I don't see my face. Like, I know it sounds dumb because of course you see your face, but it's got hair on it, it's got makeup on it, but I don't really get to really look at my face. Yeah. So every time I get fresh came, I'll go look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, oh, here you are.
Yes.
Sort of thing. Yeah. And it's just kind of this, that is, it allows me like a reconnection to me.
Yes.
Which I just really, really enjoy. And I also feel very beautiful on holiday.
Yes.
I think there's something about being waking up when it's really sunny.
Yes.
And it's
somewhere
just
warm.
Somewhere warm. And I'm waking up. I don't have to reply to this email. I don't have to do this. Yeah. It's just, and you're always on holiday, people that you love.
Yes.
So it was just this niceness of like just waking up on holiday and like my skin always looks so much better because I'm convinced the UK is trying to ruin my skin.
The water.
Have you put a filter
on your water?
I need to do that. Yeah, the water is disgusting. The weather is disgusting. It's like linted. Like, I could be on holiday, look great, and I step into Gatwick Airport and, like, the ugliness, like, takes over me from within. I don't know if it's the weather or if it's, like, the realities of, like, okay, this is life now.
Yeah,
get back to that email, do this. So I definitely feel very beautiful on holiday as well. But, yeah, there's definitely something about getting my hair freshly came out and just looking at my face and just... I've come a long way with my face in terms of like watching it change and accepting it being a bit chubby and me like loving my cheekbones or whatever. So I'm like, I'm happy to just look at it and appreciate it in what it is and be like, oh, it's mine. And like, I see glimpses of my sister in it. When I smile, I see glimpses of my mum in it. And all these are women that I love and I think are so beautiful. So when I see their face in mine, and because when I'm that raw is when I can see what I look like. So I can really see my mum. I can really see my sister.
Yes.
And that's what I really love about it. So I think those are the moments I'm like, oh, you pretty girl.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for the receipts and for just being who you are, because I think you were inspiring so many young girls, women, men too, all around the world with being who you are.
Thank you so much. And it's really nice that I'm accepted for who I am because it's a journey.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I've loved this.
All right. Amazing.
Good, intimate and everything.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.